Good morning. I'm great because it's not snowing.
It's not, but it does look nice. City did a nice job.
I know. It's balmy, like you said. Yes. Yeah.
It's always sunny somewhere, right? And everybody did a good job of getting everything cleaned up and ready to go. It's been a disjointed week, to say the least, at most of our school corporations, including the MCCSC. A day off, not a day on, or a day on, not a day off, on Monday with the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And then a delayed start on Tuesday. No school yesterday, but everybody's back. Doors are open today, and we're ready to go, trying to cram, I don't know, 3.5 days into 2.5 days. So we'll get that all figured out. But the education news that is making news in our community. Yesterday it was announced that the Seven Oaks Classical School has finally acquired their charter, and they will open their enrollment starting on February 1st. Sue, give us your thoughts on what this means to the MCCSC and other surrounding school districts.
Well, not just MCCSC and RBB and anybody else. I believe it's one more blow to the concept of public education. And I know people will say, but Sue, it's a public charter. But there's so much research nationwide that shows that charters really aren't doing any better than traditional public schools, and in many cases are doing worse. For me, it's it harms the whole concept of what public education was to be as a basis of democracy, where we all share together in the investment of educating our children. We all share in that education, and then we all share in the outcome of that, which is a better society, a more integrated, a more diverse society, a society that's educated the way we want to do it. Every time we take out a handful of kids for some niche school that a handful of people are going to get for their children, it harms the larger public education system. And every time we do that, more and more comes out. Every time we take out vouchers for private schools, more and more comes out, and less is left for the kids in the traditional public schools. And my fear is at some point, the kids who are going to be left in the traditional public schools are our poorest and our most disabled students. Because certainly, this charter is not set up to deal with our most severely disabled children. And my personal opinion is folks who created this school wanted their own little niche school for their own children, and they didn't want to be a part of the public education system.
According to the Herald Times, as a public charter school, Seven Oaks will receive per-pupil funding from the state, allowing students to attend the school tuition-free. Enrollment is open to families in Monroe counties and surrounding areas. Enrollment runs from February 1st to, I believe it was at March 17th. Mm-hmm. Is that what that said? From the HT article there. Let me make sure I get this right. That is right. SevenOaksClassical.org if you would like more information on that. And Keith, how does the money affect the MCCSC? How does it affect
all of the
RBB?
Money for the per pupil goes with the student, and that goes from the school the student is transferring from. So RBB or BNL or wherever that student is coming from will lose that per pupil daily rate in their school system. Now, the interesting part about this, and Sue, you can back me up on this, is Seven Oaks will not get all of the money that comes with the student because the state keeps a little bit of it, and 3% goes to the chartering organization. So go figure.
So Grace College, which chartered this school, will get 3% of the tuition money. And, here's my concern, and we've talked about this over and over again. This is, you know, people can say whatever they want to about their school corporation, their public school corporation. But the fact is, it's public taxpayer money, and because of that, the citizens of this community get to vote for the board of trustees for the school corporation who makes the decision. You don't like those people, you elect somebody else. With Seven Oaks or any charter school, it's a private board. And now people can say, oh, yeah, they're accountable because they have public meetings. You don't like what they're doing, you can't do anything about it. You can't get rid of those people. This is public taxpayer money. And by the way, I thought Mike Wilcox's quote in the paper, the RBB superintendent, was one of the best. This may be using public money, but that's the only thing public about it. It's authorized by a private religious college and supported by Hillsdale College, also a private religious college, which has refused federal funds because they did not want to have to abide by the strings that went with those federal funds, such as non-discrimination. So they get to do whatever they want to in admitting whatever students they want to, because they're not under any of those federal guidelines. So, and I would be glad to discuss this with anyone, but when you have two religious colleges privately supporting this charter school, it really sends up a red flag for me. And the other thing is, Keith, you know this, Mike, you know this, everybody knows this, we're an excellent school corporation. There is really nothing in the school corporation that is going to happen that isn't already happening in our school corporation. In fact, there's going to be less opportunities for these kids. I'm sure there won't be the same athletic or music or art kinds of offerings that you can do when you have a comprehensive public school.
Well,
system.
Don't forget, it's a classical school, so they're not promising that. They're promising a return to the way it kind of used to be. Technology is not going to be a keynote of all of this. So,
well, the other thing that, you know, in reading through that very, very long application they submitted, and I will tell you, I didn't read every single word, but I read a whole lot of it, and one of the things that really stood out and troubled me was the behavioral standards that they have. And if students don't abide by those behavioral standards, they're not welcome at that school, or they won't be a part of that school. Now, we have all kinds of students for all kinds of reasons who we have to be flexible with behavioral standards. Some kids, because of certain disabilities or certain physical limitations, can't abide by those behavioral standards. And it also doesn't take into cultural and background and socioeconomic status differences. You tell me how many poor kids are going to be able to find transportation to wherever they end up.
Or lunch.
Creating their school. Or lunch, right. You know, that's one of the hardest things in the decision about canceling school on snow days is for a lot of our kids, that's the only place that they get good meals, a breakfast and a lunch. So they might go that day without eating. So food is such an important part of the public school system. It's very sad. It's a sad statement on our community that we want to segregate people by their various interests or backgrounds, and that we all can't come together and together as a community educate our children to our community standards.
Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She checks in from the MCCSC School Board, as does Keith Klein. Sue, in the question I think that I have, and I, again, my New Year's resolution was to keep asking dumb questions. There's a referendum coming up. How does that affect at all anything moving forward with the MCCSC if this is going to open their doors perhaps in August?
Well, the referendum certainly doesn't benefit any other school other than the MCCSC, Public School Corporation, and that comes out of property, and that's the property taxes, which will stay at the rate that they are now, and so that will be the funds that are for us. But out of the general fund is where the funds come from for any student going to a loss of our general fund.
So do you have to fact that into the referendum? Monies that you could lose 100, 200 students, or do you just kind of go, you know what I'm trying to say?
I know it's not your budget.
Well, maybe it is the budget, if perchance this took off and you lost 400 kids in the next 4 years, is that covered in the referendum, or is that something that you would that be another hurdle you'd have to jump over down the road?
It's another hurdle, Glass. I mean, we're not going to raise our tax rate for the referendum because we anticipate a loss of funding. We're going to keep it where it is, as we said. But what it does mean is we need that money even more because our general fund will be reduced. And, you know, the referendum in the first place was used to make up for so much of the money we lost in the first place from the state.
Right.
And we still haven't made up to where we were at one point.
Well, Sue, let me jump in here because I think there's one point I want to make with what you're saying now. If you read the article that was in the paper that talked about the graduation rates, and you go back to see when the graduation rates went up, when they improved, was when the referendum money came to the school system. There was a direct correlation between the referendum money and the improvement of the graduation rates, which ultimately means our students were doing better in the schools.
Exactly, and that's a very good point, Keith, because that meant the extra money we had from the referendum meant we could hire back the teachers
there
that we lost. We could do some different kinds of programming. We could change course and make sure that every student was learning what they needed to. So, yeah, I would agree with you. It seems that As we keep improving with our achievement, it has happened since the referendum. So that's something that we really need to keep going, and I would say even more so now. And I know people will argue, well, if all these kids came from homeschooling or people who weren't in our school corporation, that's not lost money. We never would have had that money. But and that's true, but I don't think they're going to get 400 students from this community out of homeschooling. So I think a lot of those people will be coming out of our school corporation.
Sue Wanzer and Keith Klein are our guests this morning. Talk about those graduation rates. Good things, huh?
Darn good things.
Well, and I think back to the article we talked about, the Seven Oaks is now done and going. There's nothing
That's
really
right.
that can be said or done. We wanted just to bring our listeners up to speed on what is happening and how that does affect our community on that. But there are some good things happening in the MCCSE, Sue.
Right, and the graduation rate, you know, we continue to improve each year. We're above the state average. One of the things that we said a number of years ago, and I believe it might have been when Jim Harvey was working with us as a superintendent, you know, the bottom line is programs. We want good teaching and learning for all students, but...
I think, Sue, if she's on her cell phone, we may be having a problem.
She's dropping out of
this. No, I'm not on my cell. Did you lose me?
Yes.
No, you're here now.
Okay. No, I'm on my... Actually, I'm on a landline.
Okay.
Am I here? Okay. One of the things we talked about a number of years ago is our number one goal is graduating every student. And so every year since then, we've improved. And that's, I mean, to me, better than an ISTEP score is our graduation score. We're graduating students.
What was that term you just used? What's that? We haven't heard anything. Scores from ISTEP? What is this thing you speak of, Ms. Wanzer?
I don't know, but it sounds like maybe finally our state legislature might be taking a look at ISTEP
But are we ever going to know what happened last time? Jeez.
I don't know, but Keith, you bring up a very good point. If it's administered in the spring so that we can have test scores to help with education in the fall, that's not working since... Do we have any test scores yet?
No, no.
Are you taking any tests this spring?
Yes, there's a new system under a new test giver, Pearson's, and we will start again in the spring giving the test. And if it takes as long as it's taken on this time to get the results from last spring, we still don't know the total result. Well, we kind of know, but they're still dickering around with the state legislature and all. Then the other part was interesting, Sue, was they were going to fast track some of this to get us this stuff, and it's not so fast tracked now.
Well, right, because I think when I talked to Glass last week, we had just received an email from the Indiana School Boards Association that said this was being fast-tracked and the legislation should be on the governor's desk by January 19th to sign off on, which would address the invalid scores and not using those. But I've not seen any of that yet, so I'm not sure where it is, to be really honest.
Yeah, well, we give up on that one.
So the testing that you're going to take this spring, those numbers are going to equate to what come next fall?
Who knows? I mean, really, honestly, and truly,
if it's no better than the testing we took last spring, doesn't tell us anything.
If it's no better than what?
I do applaud the governor and others who have said, let's take a step back and look at this test. Why do we have the test, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
Is it doing what it is we want it to do? And then what do we do going forward? And I think that's basically what we need to do.
Except, Sue, they're arriving at the party pretty late. Because we've been saying that forever. Come on, folks.
I know, but we can keep lobbying our legislators and keep asking them, because ISTEP was never designed as a test to grade teachers or to grade schools. It was supposed to let you know how a student was achieving. We don't need that anymore in this day and age to let any teacher know how a student is doing. We have a lot of other assessments which give us much more immediate results. So we really don't need ISTEP unless we just want one state test so that we can say, oh, this school's doing better than this school.
Well, and the other thing, really, too, Sue, is that when you go again to the referendum and you look at how students are evaluated by teachers and teachers know how the students are doing, the whole PLC system is something that is a result of the referendum that we were able to put that into place. So we know, and as you can track each student individually and do an individualized plan for each student each week, then that student will do better in the long run, and that's what we're seeing as a result.
Right, and what a lot of people might not know, if they don't have kids in school or haven't been in school for a long time, or whenever teachers, you know, traditionally, you know, teach on their own in their own classroom. It's their classroom, and they teach what they need to teach. With our professional learning communities, our teachers come together and talk about what did you do to help Keith Klein advance in math? Mm-hmm. What did you do here? And so now it becomes a community of educators.
It's a team
working together on behalf of the kids.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, yeah, so that you're right, Keith. That's another thing that we were able to do as a result of the referendum.
When's your meeting?
Tuesday. Isn't that right, Keith?
Yes,
should be.
Tuesday at
the
6th, we will have our first meeting of the first regular
with our
meeting
new officers
of 2016.
Pass the gavel. What's
That's
going
right.
on at the meeting? Anything big on the agenda for that? Probably
I
not.
Don't know what is on the agenda.
Well,
except I do know.
I know that we'll talk about it next Thursday.
We're going to be recognizing the people who graduated from our MCCSC Leads
Project
program.
Leads, right.
And that was based, and it's due in part to Mr. Klein, who had the idea a couple years ago, and our superintendent went with it. It's based on Leadership Bloomington, and it's a chance for adults in this school corporation to take a part in learning about public education and learning about MCCSC. I mean, and they really get into depth and things like finance and transportation and the facilities and special education and the curriculum. And so people come out of that with a real great understanding, and these might be people who in the future might run for school board or might help us in other ways because they have such a great understanding. And they graduated last Thursday in a ceremony, and they will be at the school board meeting on Tuesday so that the school board can recognize them publicly.
Excellent. You guys will let us know next Thursday how everything went and what went on there.
We sure will.
And we will get caught up with you next week.
Okie doke. Thanks for the chance to talk to you.